Morning, friends. It's so awesome to be together with you. Welcome to Living Word United Methodist Church. My name is Michael McIntyre. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're so delighted to be with you. We're so delighted that you're here with us. Today, we're going to begin a brand new series, and it's called Sounds of Silence. It has nothing to do with Simon and Garfunkel. Sorry about that. But what we're talking about is this. All of us have about 1,000 voices screaming at us every day, right? Do this, come here, God do this, God check on that, this is most important, no this, 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 this. And it's very hard to hear God amidst all the swirl of noise of our lives. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at things that we can do to declutter all of the noise in our lives, things that we can work on to be able to be better in tune with God, to be able to hear God, to be able to reflect on God's voice instead of all the voices of everything else. So each week we're going to look at a spiritual tool that helps us to do that. And we start with the most important thing that we can do. And the good news is you're here. You're doing the most important thing that we can do. The very most important thing that we can do to build up our relationship with God, to be able to hear God, to be able to declutter our lives, is to honor the Sabbath day, to remember that it's supposed to be God's day, that we are supposed to put God as the highest priority, because it's here we're going to learn that God shares himself with us in a way that is not available to us any other way in life. So we're going to look at worship. We're going to look at the Sabbath rest that God promises us when we honor the Sabbath. So I'm going to be reading from the book of Psalms, the 95th Psalm, verses 1 through 7. And I invite you to listen and hear the word of God. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You know, friends, right now, this very moment, all across America, even as I speak, worship is taking place. In thousands of places, in thousands of ways, right? Rays of early morning sunshine gild a hushed sanctuary filled with hundreds of expectant worshipers, all holding their breath as one. The congregation watches in silence as the mitred priest walks down the aisle, slowly approaching the chancel, his brightly colored vestments adding to the sublime joy, the ambience of expectation that's taking place there. And there's neither a cough, nor a whisper, nor a movement as he kneels down on the lush carpet seeking divine blessing for the offering. Now, in other places, there are people in a very relaxed atmosphere sitting in something that resembles more of an auditorium than a sanctuary. As little kids are running around stuffing donuts in their mouths, and people are all abuzz with everything that's going on. And the PowerPoint's announcements are telling us that Pastor Dave is inviting anyone who wants to come to the community pool that afternoon because we're going to have a mass baptism there at 3 o'clock. And, of course, worship is taking place here, too. Worship is taking place at Living Word United Methodist Church. But, friends, what is worship? What are we doing? Why did you come here today? There's 1,000 things you could have done with your Sunday morning on a stunningly beautiful day. But you chose this. Why? What is worship all about? Why do we do it? I think this is an enormously important thing for us to figure out because, frankly, if you believe the Bible, If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, then it's the Word of God that tells you worship is why you were made. Why do you do this? Because that's what humans do. That's the point of being a human being, is to have this worship relationship with the God who created you. The Bible tells us that worshiping is being fully human, and we can't be fully human any other way. And of course, if worship is the most important thing that we do as human beings, then undoubtedly worship is the most important thing that we do as a church. And because it is the most important thing we do as a church, I think it's really important we do it right, that we honor it and do it in a way that glorifies God. Well, the word worship originates from the old Anglo-Saxon language, and it was a word called worship. Worship. And what it meant was to honor and to pay respect to your better. It was to honor and to pay respect to your better. And in time, the Anglo-Saxon worship became worship. And it became a way of honoring and respecting our better, our God. And so worship is how we honor, how we pay respect to whatever it is that is most important to us. Last week, if you remember, we looked at the story of Zacchaeus, and we saw how it was Jesus who reached out to Zacchaeus, right? It was Jesus who initiated the relationship with Zacchaeus. Jesus is the one who saw Zacchaeus. Jesus is the one who reached out to Zacchaeus. Jesus is the one who initiated that relationship with Zacchaeus. Jesus is the one who offered himself to Zacchaeus. Well, we looked at the fact that that same thing happens today. Jesus is the one who reaches out to you. Jesus is the one who initiates a relationship with you. Jesus is the one who invites you into a relationship with him. Well, worship is our response. Worship is how we respond to Jesus' invitation to have a relationship with him. Worship is our response to the God who reaches out to us and offers us this relationship of love and grace. I found it absolutely fascinating that recent surveys conducted by the National Opinion Research Center, the Barna Group, and Gallup all determined that when asked, between 38% and 44% of all Americans said that they attend worship every week. And right away, I was like, yeah, no, there's just no way. But that's what Americans say. Almost 44% of Americans say they are in worship every week. However, what's interesting is every one of those companies was secular company. Christian companies who did the same research, okay? Christian Century, Hadaway and Mailer, Dave Olson, the director of church planning for the Evangelical Covenant Church, all said that when they asked, the number was about 18% of Americans are actually in worship on Sunday. So 44% say they're in worship on Sunday, and 18% are in worship on Sunday. So how crazy is that, friends, right? I don't go to worship, and I know I should, so I feel guilty about it, so I'll lie and say I do. That's what's going on in America today. Well, what's interesting to me about this is, why is it so important to the people who don't go to worship to claim they do, right? If you don't think worship is important, why are you going to lie and say you do, right? If you ask me if I'm going to a football game today, I'm going to say, nope, I'm not. I don't care, right? I don't care. It's not important to me. I'm not going to lie and say, yeah, I'm going. So why do people lie about worship? What is there about worship that makes even those who don't go feel like they should go? Right? That's what I'm trying to get at. Why do we human beings have almost this innate feeling that we should worship, that we should be in worship? And I think the surface level answer to that, the easy answer, is because honestly, we don't have any choice in the matter. And I mean this sincerely. You and I have no choice as to whether or not we are going to worship something. Because worship, we just looked at, is by definition our response to whatever it is that's most important to us. And as a human being, you can't have nothing most important to you. Every human being has something that's most important. Now, to be true, to be fair, that thing that's most important may not be God, but you have something that's most important to you, and that is what you're going to worship. Okay? So we don't have any choice. We are going to worship. So the real question we need to ask is, okay, so why should God be what we worship? And that's a better question. That's a more fair question. We're going to worship. But why should we worship God? Well, again, there's a surface level, easy answer to that question. And it's because God said so. Because God commanded us to do it. Because God requires it of us. The Word of God says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. So in other words, God says, look, you got 6 days to get whatever you need done. Do it those 6 days. This seventh day, keep it holy. Dedicate it to me, God says. Dedicate it to me. It is a day of worship. The Word of God also says, worship and obey the Lord your God with fear and trembling and promise that you will be loyal to him. The Word of God says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. And Jesus says to the woman at the well, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So, why do we worship God? Because the Word of God commands us to do that. Because God's law requires us to worship him. And really, if you think about it, that should be enough. I should be able to end the message right here. Why are you in worship? Because God says so. Do it, okay? That should be good enough. But it's not. I know that. It's not good for most of us and me, same way. Well, why? Why, God? Why should I worship you? What's the point of that? You know, why does God call us to devote 1/7 of our week to him? Is God some crazed egomaniac in the sky that just can't get enough attention and just needs this worship? Of course not. That's not it at all. The reason God requires us to worship him is because God knows that it's only when we worship him that we are going to receive what we need to be whole. It's only when we worship him that we're going to receive what we need to be fully human. It's only when we worship him that we're going to receive what we need for true life. You see, friends, God made us, and God made us to be in relationship with him. And so the only way that we're ever going to be whole, the only way that we're ever going to be what we were created to be, the only way that we're going to have this peace that we're looking for is to be in relationship with God. So in truth, the reason God tells us to be in worship is not for his sake. God is going to be God no matter what we do. But we're not going to be whole. We're not going to be truly alive if we are not in worship with the Lord God. Because look at it this way. And this is a fact. What the Bible tells us is God invented life, right? There's no such thing as life outside of God. God invented it. God is the one and only source of it. And so when we separate ourselves from our only source of life, we no longer have access to life. And the only way to have life is to be made one with the author, one with the source of life. And worship is the tool that God gave us that helps us the most in becoming one with that source of life. So worship is God's gift to us to enable us to be made one with him and receive life, receive wholeness, receive the grace that we need to be made whole. Corporate worship is a tangible expression of our desire to receive what God has to offer us, namely himself, so that we can be fully human, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can have life. Now, friends, Jesus is the object of our corporate worship, and he honors our worship by making himself available to us. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." I have experienced this so many times, and I just pray that you do. Because I don't know how else to describe it, but sometimes in worship, and it happens to me a lot, I'm just literally so overcome with this knowledge of God's presence that I'm sometimes moved to tears. I'm sometimes, you know, get the goosebumps because God is here and I am so touched. I am so deeply moved by God's presence that the only thing I can do is just humbly drop on my knees and just say, "God, you are so glorious and you are so good." Worship is our response to this glorious and awesome God who shares himself with us. And one of the things that happens in worship is a powerful way that God shares himself with us that is not available anywhere else. So why do we come for corporate worship? Because here we receive the tangible presence of God in a way that we cannot receive anywhere else, any place else, any other way. And this way I'm talking about is called the Holy Sacraments, Holy Baptism, and Holy Communion. And we say this every week when we have communion. I remind us, look, this isn't just a little symbolic thing that we're doing right here to remember what Jesus did for us. I say, no. This is literally Jesus right here and right now is sharing his presence with you, is becoming one with you. When you accept Holy Communion, you are accepting the presence of Jesus Christ. And now Jesus is moving in you. Jesus is giving you a forgiveness you don't have on your own. Jesus is giving you a strength you don't have on your own. And Jesus is giving you a oneness with God that you cannot receive any other way. And it's only in the act of corporate worship that we can receive this presence of God. So corporate worship builds up our relationship with God, which means it builds up our wholeness. It builds up life and makes us who we really are meant to be and who we really want to be. But I think corporate worship also does something else. This corporate worship builds up our relationship with each other, right? Think about the Ten Commandments. They're all about two things. The first of the Ten Commandments are all about building up our relationship with God. The rest of the commandments are all about building up our relationship with each other. And that's what happens in corporate worship. God shares himself with us, building up our relationship with God. And because he shares himself with us, we now have the love and the grace to share with each other and build up our relationship with each other. It's very interesting to me that when Jesus was asked by a scribe one time, what is the most important of all the commandments? And remember, there's a whole lot more than 10 commandments. There's over 600 commandments in the Old Testament. And the scribe says to Jesus, what's the most important of all the commandments? Jesus doesn't even blink, just boom, immediately says to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, Jesus says. In other words, if you just do those two, you're automatically going to do everything that God is asking you to do. And that's what happens here. This is what happens at corporate worship. We love God with all of our heart, and God gives us the ability to love each other. Because if you really want to be righteous in the eyes of God, that's what we're asked to do. Love God and love each other. But the problem is this. You and I aren't very good at that. We're just not. We're not very good at loving each other. We're not very good at being selfless. We're not very good at being humble and showing adoration to something else. Okay? So God creates worship for us to be able to receive the help that we need to be good at those things. God has created us to be dependent upon Him and also interdependent upon one another. In other words, God made this happen on purpose because God knows I need you. And God knows you need me. And what I mean by that is we have a fantastic music ministry, do we not? A fantastic music ministry. You don't want me doing that, okay? Trust me, you don't want me doing that. That's not my thing, that's not my gifts, okay? So I need people who can do it to help me worship. I know my wife Susan would rather have root canal surgery without any kind of anesthetic than get up and speak in front of people. So speaking in front of people is not everybody's thing. So we all need to share each other's gifts with each other. And in addition to that, we have spiritual gifts, right? God gives us spiritual gifts through the Holy Spirit, but none of us have them all. And so what that means is I am lacking, as a fully baptized, born-again Christian, I'm lacking some of the gifts of the Spirit, and I know that. So what's the only way that I can have those gifts of the Spirit? What's the only way that I can have my life made whole with them? Is by you sharing them with me. Because you have the gifts that I don't have, and I have gifts that you don't have, and it's when we come together as the body of Christ that we're able to share with each other, and all of us are given everything that we need, God and all the gifts, in order to be fully, fully human. You see, I need you so much. I need God's family to be made whole. And I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. As we face trials, as we face temptations, as we face hurts, as we face problems in life, God wants so much for us to be supported. God doesn't want to say, hey, man, that stinks to be you. Let me know how that turns out for you, okay? God wants to enter into our life and give us a power we don't have on our own to be able to deal with these things. And He does that by sharing Himself with us. And He does that by sharing each other with us. I don't want you to literally do this, but I want you to, in your mind, think of all the people around you. I can look out right now and I can start pointing to people. I can name names of times I've needed somebody. I was hurt. I was scared. I was vulnerable. And I can name when you were there for me, when you reached out to me and gave me a strength I didn't have on my own. And I want you to do that with each other, because I'll bet every single one of us, unless you're a first-time visitor here today, I'll bet every single one of us could name a time when so-and-so was there for me. And oh my goodness, did I need that. When so-and-so spoke that word of love and compassion that just changed everything for me. And oh my goodness, did I need that. That's what we're talking about happens here at worship. God forms us into that holy family that He calls the church so that we can strengthen each other, we can empower each other, we can support each other. As we face the storms and the temptations of life, it is God's plan that we receive the help that we need. Because during times that we are overwhelmed by trials and heartaches and the burdens of life, the only thing that we have to be able to overcome all of this is the strength we don't have on our own. Life can be hard, friends. Truly, it can be just too hard sometimes to handle alone. And that's why God gave us each other. We need God, and we need each other. And at worship, God shares with us both. See, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Anybody want to venture a guess what the Hebrew word for rest is? Because you know it, whether you know it or not. In Hebrew, the word rest is Shabbat. And the English derivation of Shabbat is Sabbath. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find Sabbath, rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus invites us to be yoked with him, made one with him, so that we have the strength we need. Jesus wants us to have each other so that we have the strength that we need. And that, my friends, is what happens when we honor the Sabbath. God builds our relationship with him. God builds our relationship with each other. And that's what we need to be truly whole. Thanks be to God for this beautiful gift called the church, this beautiful gift called the Sabbath. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we come before you as a people who acknowledge that sometimes we do approach worship almost as if it's an obligation, something to check off our to-do list, like we do that and we keep you off our back for another week or something. Instead of recognizing that it's your gift of rest to us, it's your gift of taking the burden off our shoulders, it's your gift of filling us with grace, it's your gift of filling us with peace, it's your gift of filling us with strength, it's your gift of giving to us a fellowship and a love with each other that the world simply doesn't know and doesn't understand. And so help us to understand what a glorious gift worship is. It's not something we have to do. It's something we are blessed to receive. And so when you require us to do it, it's not for your sake. It's for ours. And we thank you for the fact that we can count on you being here. We don't have to convince you. We don't have to jump through any hoops. We just have to come and know that you are present. And for that, we give you our praise, our thanks. We offer you our worship. As we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen.